Reflect on that sacrifice of God's one and only Son that takes away our sins, who paid the price that nothing else could pay for our sins. You know, in 1 Peter says it's not by gold or silver, because those values change, but it was only bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we could have salvation. And so we remember that time here, and those outside of the church may or may not know about the Lord's Supper, may not know about a communion time where we come and remember. But Paul put this part of Scripture for us to, I think, for us to ponder about. What does it really mean for us to proclaim this? We just don't need to proclaim it to one another here, because those of us in the body of Christ who are believers in Jesus Christ, He's our Savior. We understand this, what He has done for us. But I believe the proclamation individually and corporately goes beyond these walls. It's our life to the world, because we are the light of the world. And we are to shine so that others may know about our Father and His good deeds. We lift Jesus high so that we can draw all men unto Him. We are the salt of the earth. We are to bring that flavor of Jesus Christ wherever we go. So a part of proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes is a part of what our life is all about as followers of Jesus Christ. And to be totally honest with you, in these years of ministries, I never truly ever really looked at that part of Paul's writing and just pondered it for a moment. We do this in remembrance of Him. We're proclaiming until He comes again, until that great day when the church is gathered together and we have the marriage feast of the Lamb and we're enjoying His very presence face to face for everlasting. We have this part of us in who we are as followers of Christ that we proclaim this. We're proclaiming it to the world. So I have 12 ways. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, because this is a devotion. So if it was a full sermon, it may be more. But I sort of want to highlight 12 ways that we practically, as children of God, followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of the coming King, how we proclaim our Lord's death with our life individually and corporately as the bride of Christ. I don't have PowerPoint. Many of you guys know that we just moved this last weekend. Yesterday. And thank you so much for those that came out to help. And if you see people moving slowly this morning, they were on the moving crew. But Brenda and I, this is our 14th move in 28 years of marriage. They weren't all ministry moves. There's some housing moves in there. But I've never, ever had anyone that could load a moving truck in under an hour, but you guys did yesterday. Yeah, we were all sitting around, what do we do now? We can't get the keys to the new apartment until noon, and we're done at 10 in the morning. Thank you so much for your time, your energy, your strength. It was much appreciated. So no PowerPoint, just listen. You have something to take notes on, jot these down. I'm going to refer to these different ways. I'm going to refer to some of them as a singular you, so individually as a disciple of Christ. And then a few of them as we, as the bride of Christ. So first, you proclaim the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection as you eat this bread and drink the cup, because according to 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4, Christ died for your sins. Just as the Scripture said, He was buried and He rose from the dead on the third day, just as recorded in the Scriptures. So a part of eating this bread and drinking the cup is proclaiming our lives, proclaiming to the world that we believe in Jesus Christ, who died for us, was buried for us, and rose again on that third day. We also proclaim obedience. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim what Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 and 25. We also proclaim Now this is big, folks, because it sort of relates to the one of the stipulations for coming to the Lord's table, is that when we come to the Lord's table, we're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is our Savior. That you, at some point in your life, came by faith and placed your faith in Jesus and asked Him to be your Savior for the forgiveness of your sin, to reconcile you with the Father, and give you the hope of everlasting life. So the time of remembrance is a time of proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior. As we eat this bread, and as we drink the cup, you proclaim that it's been by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. When we take that bread and we take that cup, we're also proclaiming the gift of reconciliation. You see, apart from Jesus Christ, God's children are separated from Him. For there's only one way to the Father, and that is by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. So when the church gathers, when you come to the table, when you receive the bread and the cup, you're proclaiming that you have been reconciled with God your Father. You no longer are an orphan, but you've been adopted into His family, and nothing can separate you from His love. Isn't that a great proclamation to have? So through communion, through remembering the Lord's Supper, we're saying to everyone, hey, I'm a child of the living God. You can't do anything to me because God is for me. Who could be against me? We also proclaim, this is a we here. When we come to the table, we proclaim that we are one in Christ Jesus. When we eat this bread and when we drink the cup, we proclaim that we are Christ's body and individual members of it. But there is one body, but we each are individual members of it. Now, it's just not the body here at Crossroads. It's the bride of Christ worldwide. And believers of God's family and the children of God are meeting around the world today, and we are a part of that same family. We are one. There's one body of Christ. Now, we each have our part in that family. But there's not multiple bodies. There's but one. And we proclaim that when we come to the table, when we take this bread and when we drink the cup, we're proclaiming that we are the body of Christ. Next, we proclaim the Spirit's life in you. When you take this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. He dwells in you. He dwells in me and gives life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in us, Romans 8:11. I like this proclamation. You proclaim you have a new life. You're no longer that old person. You've become new. If you recall with me back in the Gospel of John in chapter 3, Nicodemus is wanting this offer of being born again, this new life, and he doesn't quite understand it. He says, My mom does not want to welcome me back. Any of you moms can relate to that. But Jesus makes it straight. That which is born of the flesh is. That which is born of the Spirit is. So we are to be born of the water and the Spirit. The water relates to the Word of God, the living Word of God and the Spirit. So we have a new life when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. We're born again. The old life is gone. You have become new. You're no longer what you used to be. We are somebody new. And at that point, the Spirit of God comes and dwells within you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He begins that work, making you more like the one who saved you by His precious blood. It's a work in progress. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun, 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we come to the table, and when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming what Jesus declared, that you are a disciple of His. Because a follower of Jesus Christ is a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who says, not my way, but your way. I will follow your lead. I will learn from you. I will do as you've commanded me to do. I will go and make disciples of all nations. That's a disciple. I will teach them. I will see them baptized. I will tell them to obey all that I've commanded. And guess what? We don't have to do that on our own, because Jesus gives us this promise in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, that He is with us to the very end of this age. So just when you think you can't be this disciple or this disciple maker, stop trying to, and allow Him to be it in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, who will equip you and give you the strength and the ability to walk in mission with the One who saved you from separation and eternal damnation, Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ and through coming to the table that we proclaim our discipleship. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. When we come to the table and we eat this bread and take this cup, we also proclaim that you will be His witness. You are a witness telling people about Jesus everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the world, Acts 1:8 puts it. But notice at the beginning of that verse in Acts 1:8, once again, to be that witness, we don't do it on our own strength. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witness. When we come to the table, we're proclaiming more than just the death of Jesus Christ. We're proclaiming the entire life of Christ and the mission He has given us to fulfill by telling others the way to the Father, the way to have their sins forgiven, and that is only through Jesus Christ. And notice, it's not a mistake in God's Word that you start right where He has you. Many of us may have that mentality, think it's a whole lot easier to go do this over seas and cross the international border. But there's a reason. Right where we're at, there are those that still do not know that Jesus Christ is the answer for their life. So when the church celebrates the Lord's Supper, when you come to receive the bread and the cup, you're proclaiming that you're a witness of Jesus Christ through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just a few more. The next area that we proclaim, when we eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim hope. Do you realize that people are in search of hope? And they live these hopeless lives, but the child of God has hope. Because Paul told the church in Colossae, that we have Christ in us and He is the hope of glory. What's the hope? The hope of Christ living in us. The hope that there's a whole lot more to life and to this world than what we see on this earth. There's the hope of everlasting life with our Father in heaven in the presence of Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's glory. So when we come to the table, we proclaim a hope that we have. And that hope is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We also proclaim faith. As you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim that I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. Are you getting the picture so far, church? There's a whole lot more to coming to the table than maybe what you thought. Are you understanding that as a child of God, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, We have a proclamation that needs to be heard right here where we live and to the round the entire world, every place that we go. And the testimony of the proclamation of Jesus Christ belongs to God's children, those who are a part of His family. That's our mission, to proclaim this. Lastly, we proclaim the return of Jesus. As we eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim what Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." We proclaim the return of Jesus Christ. We proclaim Christ, our coming King. There's a whole lot more that's waiting for us on the other side. And you know, that part of hope that is missing in the lives of so many people even gets so much more narrow and restricted as their life gets closer to the end on this earth. They have no idea what happens when they take that last breath. They don't have the hope and the peace and the assurance of knowing that to be separated from the body, that you'll be in the presence of God. And for one that's out of Christ, to be separated from the body is to be cast away from His eternal presence in great anguish, in great despair. You see, whenever we eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we proclaim the Lord's death. Most memorial services don't focus on the one who died, but celebrate the life of the individual. However, we celebrate the death of Jesus because it affirms to us and to the world of God's love for us. For God demonstrated His own love toward us while in that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're proclaiming this. We're making this statement. We also celebrate His death through it because the payment of our sin was accomplished and paid for all at once. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered for our sins for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring them safely home to God. We celebrate the death of Jesus because it was through Him that ushered in the new covenant that we might receive the promised inheritance of our salvation. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the eternal inheritance He has promised, since He died to set them free from the violations committed under the first covenant, Hebrews 9:15. What's that all mean, Pastor? Because we never would have made it under the old covenant, folks. My daughter-in-law asked me the other day when we were visiting down in Vermilion, "Hey, Dad, how in the world was always enough sheep available for the sacrifices?" Natalie, I've never thought about that question before. But just think about it. The sacrifices that were needed, the spotless sheep, all those sacrifices under the old covenant had to take place just for a covering of our sin. But John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's only through Jesus Christ. So we come to the table and we do celebrate that our Savior died and ushered in the new covenant that's in His blood. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. Amen? And when you've been covered in the blood of Jesus, you stand before God as a spotless child, as His saint, because God sees the covering of His Son in your life. And you're pure, and you're holy, and you're His beloved. And He loves you with a love that will never end. On this Communion Sunday, on any Communion Sunday, as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim all praise and glory to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. For He alone bought our salvation so that we might celebrate His perfect life, His precious death, His glorious resurrection, and His promised soon return. Listen to that one more time, church. And then we're going to look at this passage and come to the table. Today, when we come to the table, and as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we, the bride of Christ, the worshipers here in this building who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, proclaim all praise and glory to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. For it is through Jesus alone who bought our salvation so that we might celebrate His perfect life, His precious death, His glorious resurrection, and His promised soon return. The first Sunday of the month just isn't something to add into a service. The first Sunday or any time we come to the table and we prepare this, there's a lot of meaning behind it. There's a lot of proclamation that goes with it. And honestly, folks, it calls us to a life that needs to be in step with the Spirit and living for Jesus, so that as we lift Him high, as we lift Jesus high, those that don't have any idea about a loving Father will see that they are loved in their need of a Savior. Paul wrote for us in 1 Corinthians 11, 23-32. I'm going to read this in entirety now. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, who does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." And maybe sometimes those that are leading the time of coming to the table don't read all the way through those verses. But I did it intentionally because before we come to the table now, I hope the Spirit challenged you with your own life and what are you proclaiming? What are you proclaiming right here when you come to the table? And what are you proclaiming when you leave this building to a world that's in need of a Savior? So as Paul gives us his instruction, I want to invite us all just to take a moment. Ask the Spirit to examine our hearts. Ask the Spirit to search those corners and those crevices and say, "Is there something in me that's not aligned with my Savior right now?" And to make it right. How do we make it right? Repent. He forgives, cleanses, and adds His righteousness to your life. If there's areas you think, "Oh, my walk just isn't the walk it needs to be. I'm not proclaiming Jesus Christ as I ought to proclaim Him each day." Well, take this time right now, if the Spirit brought that chair, and say, "Forgive me, Father. And Spirit of God, come afresh in me. And give me Your strength and Your ability to be the proclamation of Jesus Christ every place I go." I don't need to give you any other examples. The Spirit's already been speaking to your hearts. Now we need to listen and follow what He's doing. So we just take a moment where you're at, just bow your heads, bow your hearts, and ask the Spirit of God just to search you. Father, we thank you for the work you're doing in each of our hearts and calling us to be more like our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for those decisions that we have made before your throne today. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God would seal those within our hearts and our lives and make us that living proclamation of Jesus Christ every place that we go. As we come to the table this morning, we give you thanks, Father, for the bread that represents the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which was given for us. And we thank you for the cup of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And as we come today, may our minds and our hearts be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, and our lips in our hearts filled with a proclamation of who Jesus Christ is to us and who He is to those that don't know Him. In your name we pray.